This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is 8:15, and we're talking with Dr. John Beck, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital, about puppies and how do you make sure you get along with other pets. If you got a new dog, how do you train it? Because there is a new puppy in my life, Teddy, after I lost Betsy the Boxer 3 years ago. It took me a long time to get ready for another one, and it turned out to be a rescue. And I told the story just now that coincidentally, I had decided to get a dog, and with my schedule, it's hard to housebreak, and I was going to ask my grown child to do it, but up there, they had decided to already adopt a dog for me and was doing it, so it just makes it seem like it was meant to be. How you doing, Dr. Beck?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm all right. I got Teddy sticks here because I got $100 of chewable toys, and all the dog wants to do is pick up sticks. Let's talk about puppies, and before we get to once they're in a house, let's talk about picking the right dog for the right person, because I mentioned earlier I saw a Cane Corso in Petco the other day. These dogs can be just, when you look at one of these things, it looks like a superhero animation or cartoon, doesn't it, of a dog? Really?
They do. They are very strong dogs.
Like a dog that's been in the gym. This dog's been bench pressing and doing some squats and deadlifts. I don't know how they get their little paws around the bar, but they manage to do it. But seriously, how do you pick the right dog for the right family, for the right person?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it has to do with how active your lifestyle is. You know, obviously a Cane Corso is a very strong, big dog, and so, you know, you need to have a strong owner because they can be a little bit more difficult to train unless you're aware of the breed. So, you know, if you want a dog that can go running with you, that sort of thing, you know, maybe look for a medium to large size dog, maybe not something like a Pomeranian or a Bulldog. Bulldogs typically, you know, those sort of breeds do better with a more calmer lifestyle just because, you know, obviously in Louisiana we have our heat, so we need to be cognizant of their respiratory, you know, tract. Active dog, active lifestyle, you know, typically fits well. How old is Teddy?
Teddy is about 3 months. Well, no, October something was his birthday.
Okay. So, and what kind of dog is he?
I have no earthly idea. He's got some he's got some Labrador in him, I'm guessing. He's more really what's the name of this company? Tractor Supply Trash, because that's where they adopted him from. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. But sometimes rescues sometimes can be genetically the best dogs you can get, right?
Yes, I totally agree. So absolutely. And a lot of them will have some of the best personalities. So it's okay if we don't know what Teddy is. But, you know, if you think he has a little bit of lab in him, I would say he's going to be active. Mm-hmm. So, you know, keeping his little brain thinking is going to be important when as a puppy, you know, getting some of those interactive toys. I love Kongs. because they're nice and soft. But, you know, you can put treats in there and freeze them, and it kind of gives you a little bit more time if they're frozen, and it feels nice in their gums, too. Yeah. So that can be something good.
I'm sorry. I've been wearing him out, and we're getting ready to take a long walk in a minute here that he better get ready for. But when it comes to the preparation of getting a dog, because a lot of people, you know, they, you know, they'll see him on TV or something, and they'll see the dog show, and they decide they want this or they want that. But I don't think they realize the commitment that they're getting into. So let's talk about, if you could bring a puppy into the house when we come back, what kind of time commitment do you have to plan on spending, or when it comes to rescuing a dog, about age appropriateness? Because you don't want to have a puppy and expect that puppy to lay down and not play, because that's not what puppies do. We'll also talk about integrating the dog with other dogs. One thing, Doc, real quick before we go to the break, when it comes to a big dog like a Cane Corso, because I saw another one of these dogs years ago in one of these pet stores, and the guy that had this dog weighed about 100 pounds and was not in control of the dog at all. And I worried about the people in the store, and I worried about this guy when he got home. Are dogs aware of the physical size of the owner, or the alpha tendencies, or the strength of the owner, anything like that?
I would say no. I think a lot of it has you know, comes down to what sort of training do they do with them. You know, if you have, you do the training, you do the obedience, spend the time with them, you don't need to be a big, big person to be able to handle a big dog. You know, as long as you have good basics down, you know, in those situations with, you know, control, they know their commands, that sort of thing.
We'll talk about that as well when we return. Dr. Jean Beck, our guest veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital, talking about getting a new puppy in the house, since I have Teddy now with me. 821 traffic, WWL. WWL, talking to Dr. Jean Beck, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. It's Tommy and Teddy in the morning on WWL. You want to say hi? Say hi. Go ahead. Go ahead. You sniffing a microphone before? Go ahead. There you go. Dr. Beck, let's talk about house training a dog, because that can be very frustrating. Teddy woke me up this morning barking, had to go outside, let him out. And then he saw a possum that was bigger than him, and he went after it. But I said, easy, buddy, easy. Hang on a second. A dog's got to know its limits. Let's talk about crate training and house training and the best way to go about that.
Yeah, so I think it's very important. I mean, I think crate training is great for new puppies. It kind of gives them a little safe place, you know, to be. I do think it's very important to make it a positive experience. So we never want to put them in there when, you know, as punishment. It's always going to be a good reward. Getting them used to it. You can try feeding them in there, giving them lots of treats when they're in there, and just having them in there for short periods in the beginning so they can kind of get acclimated to it. And it's not, they don't, you know, associate it with, oh, every time I go in here, I get left, you know. So just try and make it as positive as possible. And then as far as housebreaking goes, that kind of comes down to consistency. So kind of getting them on a good schedule. You know, if you have them out loose with you, I'd say every 30 minutes, you want to be taking them outside, you know, showing them the grass. First thing in the morning, you know, sometimes if they're tiny, you want to carry them outside so they can get there quickly. But it sounds like Teddy's doing pretty well if he's already alerting you that he needs to go out. You know, that's a good thing.
He is. And one thing I found when it comes to house training, it's all about consistency, even if you have to set a clock to remind yourself to bring the dog out. And also, I think it's important, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, to bring them in as soon as they finish and praise them. And actually,
it's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I can do it with a gesture with Teddy, and Betsy the Boxer was the same way, where they know it's time to go out in the yard, and you can use whatever word you want. I won't use the word here on the radio, but and they know it's time to do their business, and they do. And,
exactly.
And you go TT and point out to go TT, not now, Teddy. I'm talking on the radio, but and I'll point out to the yard, and he'll go out and do it, and Betsy did it as well. Are there some breeds that are more amenable to house training than others?
I would say I find that some smaller breeds take a little bit longer just to kind of catch on to that. And, you know, I think it is important that if you want them to potty outside to avoid pee pads, maybe, because some of them will get very used to using those pee pads inside. And so, you know, if you have a big dog, obviously you don't want to be cleaning up pee pads forever. So let's just try getting them used to going outdoors as much as possible.
And the other question I have is and somebody texted this in, when it comes to time commitment, because they're thinking about getting a dog for the kids and they're wondering about with the wife and them working, or I guess it's significant, or whoever it is working, what kind of time commitment they're looking at with a puppy or adopting an older dog, difference?
Yeah, so puppies obviously take a lot more time, a lot more training involved, housebreaking. You know, with young kids, we need to make sure that they're not chewing on kids' toys, that sort of thing that could get them in trouble. So, you know, if you have a very active family, you know, there's plenty of adult rescue dogs out there that are looking for a new home. So that may be a better fit, you know, so maybe a 2 to 3 year old dog versus, you know, a 10 to 12 week old puppy that needs a lot of time commitment.
And it's not really fair to think that the puppy's going to react on your time schedule, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, they need a lot of time, commitment to, you know, learn the basics, learn how to behave and how you want them to act and get adjusted.
Son of a gun was barking all morning long. I didn't know what he wanted. He wanted me to go lie on the bed with him and take a nap. Teddy, somebody around here has got to work, buddy, and that's me. So, Doctor, thank you. Pleasure talking to you as always. I hope we help people understand a little bit about the commitment involved in getting a dog and a puppy. And you're talking about what, 8, 10 years maybe?
At least, yeah. It's a big commitment. I would say average, you know, expect, you know, some even 10 to 15. So
don't do it lightly.
Exactly. Think about it before you make that jump.
Thank you, Dr. Jean Beck. Dr. Jean Beck, veterinarian with Lakeview Veterinary Hospital. Say bye, Teddy. He's saying bye. We'll be back in a flash traffic now. News on WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9. Always some great insight if you follow Jeff Nowak at Jeff Nowak on Twitter or WWL.com. Download the Odyssey app. You can listen to the Black and Gold podcast with he and Steve Geller. You can listen to him on Sports Talk. And we're getting ready to talk about free agency and more with Jeff Nowak. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm all right. You know what I wanted to ask you? Everybody's got a story, right? And I see some stuff here that spring break is starting. Have you ever gone on like a spring break, like a real college kind of spring break type thing?
I haven't. You know, I had friends who did, and you know, I had friends in high school who would, you know, they would all go on trips for spring break. They would come back all tan, and I'd be like kind of sitting at home. We were a camping family. We would go up to like Maine and hang out in the woods for a while in the summers. But no, I was never a beach goer. I think it's probably more popular in the South because, you know, you're within driving distance. I went to college in Connecticut, so there was, you know, the water's all cold up there. Man. So.
But that had to be nice camping in Maine, huh?
Yeah, in the summer, because it was, you know, it would peak at like 82 degrees. So you're like, all right, I got this. But yeah, we had a pop-up camper, and we would drag that thing up there. It was always a good time.
All right, let's talk about, that's the best time you have, it's spending with family. The toys, everything else, parents, I would just tell younger parents, spend time with your kids. That's what they're going to remember. That's what we all remember. Let's talk about free agency.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I saw, what I found interesting was Tanyo Passignon was riding in the crew of Tux, and more people were concerned with giving him a high five or a low five, however it was, because he was on the float, than they were with beads. Tell me what the Saints are doing with free agency, and I guess we can start with restructuring contracts. Is that what they did with Tanyo or not?
Well, so he has an expiring deal, and there's a few players on expiring contracts that are kind of interesting to watch. Tano, his is on the lower end, but Juwan Johnson and Chase Young are two guys that, you know, as we talk about the salary cap and their $46 million or so, there's some varying numbers there, but I'm going with $46 million over that they need to clear. You know, Chase Young, if they come to an extension
Hang on one second, Jeff, for people that don't understand it, it can get very complicated. Yep. When you say they need to clear $46 million, what does that actually mean?
So they're $46 million over the salary cap right now, and the interesting thing is if just the players on the roster, you know, they're actually under the salary cap. But the issue is, you know, Marshawn Lattimore is a big dead money hit that's pushing that number up. They're paying Mike Thomas. They're still paying Jameis Winston. Chase Young and Juwan Johnson are also in that number, kind of pushing them up. And so they need to get under the salary cap by March 12th, which they'll do by they already cut Jamal Williams. That's kind of like about $1.6 million that they're saving there. So that knocked that number down a little bit. But the majority is going to be done through restructures. They're going to, you know, prorate signing bonus. They're going to turn base salary into signing bonuses and then push that number out over void years. That's how they've been operating for the past 6 or 7 years primarily. Let me ask an easier
question. Does that mean that they kick the can down the road and this keeps accumulating and hoping that the cap goes up, or by restructuring, turning it into bonus, does it come out of the Saints? Saints got to pay it, but it doesn't count against the cap.
Well, so here's the thing. When I say all that dead money is from previous years where they've done this, right? Okay. So that's where that extra money comes from. And yeah, I see the term people use is kicking the can down the road. I don't know how accurate that is, because it's more so just, hey, this is a process you do every year. It's not like you're going to stop it. And, you know,
Right.
I mean, it's a complex process they go through every year, and more teams are doing it this way. The Saints aren't the only team. They're just the most extreme version of it. The Eagles do have a similar version of this, and they're going to be dealing with contract issues. The Cowboys restructured Dak Prescott's contract and freed up $37 million. The Browns restructured Deshaun Watson's contract and freed up like $50 million. And so, you know, the consequences, you're tied to these players for longer times. As long as those are players you want to be tied to, it's not a big deal. So, you know, Eric McCoy, for example, he was the first restructure. He was the most obvious. He's a star player. He's going to be on your roster for a while. You can restructure that deal and feel comfortable that he's going to be around, because it only becomes an issue when you cut those players, because all of those future cap hits speed up, right? They come up to that current year, and then you end up having to pay that all at once. So if they were to cut, let's say, Derek Carr this year, for example, all of his future cap hits that have been guaranteed would speed up to this season. That's why he's probably going to get restructured. The Saints have already indicated that they intend to stick with him, and if that's the case, you can free up $30 million against the salary cap this year by restructuring that deal, and that gets you pretty close to scratch between Eric McCoy, which is about $8 million, and Derek Carr, which would be about $30 million. And then you only have to have about $8 million more to clear, which you're talking about Cesar Ruiz, is an obvious candidate to be restructured. It's about $6 million. Carl Granderson's an obvious candidate to be restructured. It's about $6 million. So, you know, the Saints have the levers to get there. It's really just a question of how much you want to clear. The other question is anyone willing to take a pay cut, which is always kind of an awkward conversation to approach. Taysom Hill, you know, is a guy that would probably make sense to take a pay cut if he's amenable to it. And then that would allow you to clear cap space without restructuring. But again, it's like, I don't know, if someone approached you and said, hey, you want to take a pay cut, how would you feel about that?
Now, in that case, that's not restructuring. That's money that he would get later. That's a flat-out pay cut, right?
Yes. Yes, that is. He is receiving less money than he is contractually obligated. But it's usually combined with if you take a pay cut, we can keep you around. If you do not, then we will have to cut you. So do you want any of this money? You know?
Right. Chance with free agency or what have you.
But, I mean, Will Lutz a couple years ago took a pay cut, and then they still cut him. So, it's definitely not a guarantee.
There are no guarantees in life. Jeff, let me take a break. We come back. Okay, so you got to the salary cap. What do you do now to improve the team, or how do you do it? Because what you're doing, you didn't free up any money. You just got back to where you were not over the cap, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, the Saints have a lot of players under contract, so they are not going to have to go out and sign 20 players just to get to a 90-man roster. So, yeah, I mean, it's really going to be a situation where hey, where do we need to improve? Where are the holes? You got 9 draft picks to make. You got to sign those players too. So you're going to have to clear.
That's where we'll pick it up when we come back. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. He'll be on Sports Talk this afternoon, 8:52, 8 till 9. Traffic now, WWL. I quickly back to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, talking about, all right, you got the cap cleared up, you know, the overage. What do you do now, Jeff, to improve the team? What have you seen with that other NFL teams, free agency, anywhere the Saints would be interested there? Can you afford free agency, or do you do it through the draft with rookie contracts?
Well, I do think the majority has to be done through the draft, right? Like, you need to build better through the draft, and until you do, it doesn't matter who you sign. No team in NFL history has been sustainably good by signing free agents every year. There are areas you can patch through free agency. You need to figure out who's your left guard going to be. I don't know if they're going to find anyone in the draft that they want to play on day one of the season. So that's somewhere I'd look. Okay, can I build the offensive lineup through the draft or through free agency? Maybe a guy like Amari Cooper might make some sense. He spent half the season with the Bills, didn't go particularly well. He's a guy that spent several years on the Cowboys with Kellen Moore. So I think that's kind of what you're going to be looking at. Okay, who are guys that we can bring in on both offense and defense that can fit the schemes that Kellen Moore, that Brandon Staley are going to bring in that maybe we don't have right now? If you can't find an edge or a nose tackle in the draft, is there someone in free agency you can bring in? Because there is space you can clear, especially if you're sticking with Derek Carr. And I think that's the key, is if you stick with Derek Carr and you can free up a lot of that money, then you can be a little more aggressive in free agency. And that's what Mickey Loomis hinted at the combine, is they're probably going to be a little more aggressive than they were last year. And so whether that's going to be more long-term deals or another kind of run of these one-year deals like we had last year with Willie Gay and Chase Young.
20 seconds left. Give me a couple.
They're just going to sit back.
20 seconds left. Give me a couple of free agent names to watch for.
Yeah, like I said, Amari Cooper.
Okay.
There's a few others. I think Juwan Johnson's going to be back, so he's going to be someone they have to sign. But, you know, there's going to be some names that emerge, no question.
Jeff, we'll be listening this afternoon at 4 o'clock when you're on Sports Talk. Thanks, as always. We'll take a break. We come back. We talk to Ian McNulty about eating and drinking, then get some picks from JR. He was hot last week.